This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and this is GG Well Played, BFM's video game show. We're nearing the end of the month, which means that Jonathan Leo, content director at kakuchupore.com, joins me in this episode for our monthly run-up for December. As always, December means announcements and also the Game Awards, and that's where we're going to start today's episode with a recap of the winners from that annual show.
We're just going to highlight some of the big ones because I think the next segment is going to be bigger than the actual awards, given that the Game Awards, people who arrange it, Jeff Keighley and his team, they seem to care more about trailers and reveals rather than giving people the accolades and then giving them time to speak, as you've noticed in the show. Baldur's Gate 3 was actually the game of the year. It was beating out Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Wonder, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and many other titles, and it's definitely well deserved given that the game is big, it's huge, it's fan favorite and everything, and it's got great writing, great story, great combat, tactical combat, turn-based stuff, and just an all-around good epic feeling if you like to play a Dungeons & Dragons game but in a controlled module space. And unfortunately, Larian Studios' speech where they paid tribute to their late and departed senior animator was cut short. But then you can see the full speech on Twitter on Sven Vings, the CEO's Twitter account. Other notable wins include Honkai Star Rail winning Best Mobile Game, Tachiya winning Games for Impact, which is great, but it is sad for Southeast Asia since Space for the Unbound, an Indonesian-made adventure game, it was in that category. Alan Wake won Best Narrative and Best Art Direction, I believe. Yeah, that's correct. The Last of Us won Best Adaptation, while Alan Wake 2 won Best Narrative and Best Game Direction. And Final Fantasy 16 won Best Score, which is well-deserved given Masayoshi Soken's work was really epic in that Final Fantasy. He carried Final Fantasy, basically, with 14 and now FF16.
Yeah. The overall winner in terms of the numbers of awards won that night was actually Alan Wake 2, right?
I believe it's Alan Wake 2. That is correct.
Yeah, for a game that came out like literally last month.
A couple of months. Yeah, October, come to think of it. Wow. Yeah. But it's definitely well-deserved considering the great story it has, the meta-narrative, and I think the game is fine, but I think the story, the writing, and the history with Alan Wake as a whole, along with Remedy's games, just does help elevate it a lot more. And plus the acting and the voice work and the production values.
Yeah. Overall, nothing controversial in terms of
major controversial, yeah. Except, I guess we can get to one thing later on in the story thing. So, moving on, the Game Awards actually also announced a bunch of new titles and new announcements and new reveals for older games and whatnot. Alright, so God of War Ragnarok is getting free DLC. It's subtitled Valhalla. It's out right now, and it's an incredibly meaty and story-driven slew of stages, and it's for free. That's the crazy part. Like, this is something you expect to pay like RM40 for, but somehow it's free, and it's pretty substantial in terms of the lore and the fighting and the stages and whatnot. Speaking of DLC, Final Fantasy 16 gets DLC announcements. The first one is Echoes of the Fallen. It's out right now for RM40. You basically fight a giant boss named Omega in this new dungeon, which is basically a giant tower created by this race called the Fallen. The next DLC is called Rising Tide. It's coming out on Spring 2024 and focuses on the other icon in the game called Leviathan in a new area called Mysidia. And as a little bonus, you actually get to fight the series' iconic creature called the Thornberry, but in the Final Fantasy 16 formula, so it looks more gothic and more Final Fantasy-like, basically. A bit more serious. Let's see. Big news include Arkane Studios, the French Lyon site, is making a game based on the Marvel's Blade franchise. You know, the vampire who actually walks in the day, half-human, half-vampire guy, played by Wesley Snipes back in the day. And it'll be a third-person action-adventure stealth game with, you know, vampire killing. Big one as well is Sega. Sega announced 5 new games in development, and they're all remakes and reboots of their classic titles. These include Crazy Taxi, Streets of Rage, which already had a sequel, but now it's going to be a 3D brawler, Golden Axe, Jet Set Radio, to the surprise of everyone and excitement and everything, and Shinobi as a 2D high-res platforming game. So it's like 2D handcrafted, but you know, 2D platformer like the old Shinobi titles.
Mm.
Other games, let's see. We got Light No Fire, which is an upcoming open-world procedurally generated adventure game made by Hello Games of No Man's Sky fame. So the actual planet he's at, the developers are creating, which is a small team, by the way, it's basically going to be Earth-sized, but with fantasy elements. So you see giant birds, magic, and different weird things happening, but in the fantasy medieval kind of setting, lah.
All right.
Rise of the Ronin gets a release date, 22nd of March 2024. For those who don't know, Rise of the Ronin is a Koei Tecmo-developed open-world action-adventure game where you play as a samurai who in the Bakumatsu period. We don't know what the story is, but it's probably going to be, you know, a lot of action because it's being made by the same developers of Neo and Ninja Gaiden. Skull and Bones, our punchline for BFM and Kakucho Pure, gets a release date, 16 February 2024. For those who don't know, that's an open world. Actually, it's more like a multiplayer pirate game, I guess. Yeah.
Mm.
Let's see. Moon Studios of Ori series fame, it has revealed a new title called No Rest for the Wicked. It's an action RPG with lovely, I guess, 3D graphics based off hand-drawn artwork from the concept art team. So it's got that really cool, darkly aesthetic. We don't know what the story is, but I believe they reveal more on the 1st of March. A team of ex-BioWare developers called Archetype Entertainment announced a new sci-fi RPG called Exodus, which was presented by
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Okay, so you play as a traveler who explores the universe and obstructing enemies called the Celestials. So when you look at the gameplay of the trailer, it looks like basically Mass Effect, but with a completely different skin, tone, and graphic aesthetic.
Mm.
Right, so the team who made, also another one, the team who made Untitled Goose Game, House House from Australia, has announced a new, very weird-looking title called Big Walk. It features spherical heroes and a cutesy, strange aesthetic open-world area with, you know, these spherical players playing with each other, playing mini-games here and there, and chilling out on a camping trip in the valley somewhere. So it's very homely, very wholesome. It's interesting, definitely. In also from Japan, a studio called Unseen, formed by veteran developer Ikumi Nakamura, who used to be an art director for Tango Gameworks and Platinum Games, has showcased their upcoming new title called Kemuri. The trailer shows off a bunch of ninjas standing off against yokai of different shapes and sizes, i.e. Japanese ghosts. There's no release date, there's no platform announcement, but it's got that Ghostwire Tokyo vibe, but a bit more colorful and action-packed based on the trailer. There's no gameplay, but you know, it looks promising, so hopefully we'll see more next year.
Hmm.
Let's see. Exoborn is a new open-world extraction shooter by Shark Mob, and it has PvP and player versus enemy elements, and it's for PC and consoles. Let's see. We got a couple more. If you don't mind, I'm going to run it through bullet point form.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Visions of Mana is a new action RPG game from Square Enix. It's a brand new entry in the Mana series that was long forgotten by Square Enix, and it'll be out in 2024 for PC and consoles. It's got, from the looks of the trailer, the gameplay, and everything, it uses the same engine as the Trials of Mana remake, but hopefully with a bigger budget. Apex Legends gets a Final Fantasy crossover with Final Fantasy weapons and skins from the series, FF7 especially, just for the game. And speaking of which, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has a new trailer. It features a new song for the game and shows off some very, very key scenes that will make Final Fantasy fans cry, lah, basically. Just a nice little trailer just to showcase, oh, we're still making the game and it's coming out the end of February. Hideo Kojima announced a title called OD, which is going to be Xbox exclusive since it's actually being funded by Xbox Game Studios. It stars Udo Kier, Hunter Schafer, and Sophie Lillis. And it's a horror game, and it's being it's getting directorial story help from horror director Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame, if you've seen the comedy sketches series.
Yeah.
And from the looks of it, a lot of people are speculating that this horror game could be Hideo Kojima's version of P.T. and Silent Hills from Konami, just under a different name with different characters. Like, because that was his cancelled project when he got kicked out of Konami.
Yeah.
So you could say that people are predicting that this might be PT. It's just called a different name, lah.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously OD. Like, maybe OD stands for overdue because a lot of people are kind of hoping for a new Silent Hill game from Hideo Kojima, right? So overdue sounds like a nice acronym.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. I think it's just theory, lah. People spitballing theories. But we'll find out more maybe in a couple of years, because he probably will probably just keep quiet about the game until like next year and then the year after.
Hmm.
Okay, let's see. A couple more announcements. Capcom has announced Monster Hunter Wilds. It's probably going to be the same as the last game, with the action adventure bit, with the hunting the monsters, everything in a different setting. Dead Cells Studio Motion Twin reveals a new action game called Windblown, has co-op play and fast-paced roguelike combat. Let's see. Usual June is an indie supernatural action title with cel-shaded art, and it's coming out in 2025. Pony Island 2 Panda Circus is a new adventure game from the creator of Inscription, Daniel Mullins. Harmonium the Musical is a musical narrative adventure featuring a 10-year-old Filipino-American musician who becomes deaf at a young age. Treasure is a new upcoming hardcore rhythm game from the same devs of Thumper. Company, basically the developers are called Drool, I believe. Yeah, it's coming out for PC next year. And of course, last but not least, World of Goo 2 has been announced.
All right. So overall, how do you rate this year's announcement?
There's actually more announcements than actual awards giving. So I think Jeff Keighley should just call this the Winter E3 la. Or Winter Games Festival or something along those lines. WGF. Hey, WGF sounds more catchy. I feel that this show that Jeff Keighley and his team has created should be a lot more honest and maybe just have this award thing as a sidelight thing where people don't actually have to show up. They can just do it online.
And speaking of E3, we have a sad news involving E3. Yeah, they finally announced that they're no longer going to be around, right?
After 28 years, I believe they have announced they're calling it quits following the fact that they cannot actually revive it. And I believe they do understand that there are people who are actually doing it on their own, like Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo, as well as other different parties who can afford to get all these developers together for one big show. So E3, as much as it's sad, I mean, it is sad to see them go, considering that from 1995 up till now, they have been instrumental in getting people together, you know, to meet up in Los Angeles as a form of congregation. But I don't think that can be done anymore, given that how technology has progressed and the people who handled E3, the ESRB, ESA, they are not progressing with the times. And also a lot of the scandals, considering that they accidentally leaked out all press contacts for the past few years without people knowing until it was found out 2 months later. So a lot of this, along with the fact that they cannot keep up, means that it eventually had to die lah. It is sad, considering that I did get, when I was starting out in the video game journalism and content creation scene, I did check out E3. It's actually one big congregation, so I was glad to actually attend it.
Mm. Yeah, it is the end of an era, I suppose, right? Because it is kind of like, especially during summer, people actually look forward to E3. And even if like you can't go, you probably look forward to all the announcements. But now, yeah, things are done a bit differently these days, right? Yeah.
It's actually more cost efficient to do it online. I mean, or at least watch it from online instead of spending money on the trip. Unless you want to do other things there, like networking. I think the biggest blow is mostly for publishers and developers, because they want to do the networking and everything. And E3 will be the best place for that. Mm. Now, they have to rely on Game Developer Conference, which is fine too. And maybe the DICE Awards. Or maybe if Jeff Keighley can do like another replacement of sorts for developers to mingle and congregate and whatnot, to make it one big networking party, you know, for 3 days straight.
Mm.
But I mean, there's also Gamescom too, don't forget, in Europe. And Tokyo Game Show, I guess.
Yeah, and Tokyo Game Show.
I guess E3 is done and gone, but there'll be others that has already taken its place. And plus, heading to Tokyo is cheaper than going to Los Angeles.
Do you think that the format can be replicated? Do you think that, I mean, perhaps if there's another party, whether it's Jeff Keighley or any other individual or parties that want to at least give it this format another try, do you think that it can be replicated again?
I think it's already being replicated, because this year, Jeff Keighley did the whole Summer Games Festival, where there's a side event where they booked the hallway. I'm not sure how big it is. They had like all the media coming in, but media from America and Europe.
Mm.
Yeah, close friends of Jeff Keighley basically coming down to take a look and check out the games and everything. So that's the replacement basically. Mm. So he just needs to basically scale it up and hopefully invite a number of contacts here and there to check it out.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. This game is actually a game that I was kind of like keeping an eye on. The day before, well, I wouldn't say it looked great back then, but yeah, it looked kind of interesting. But apparently, yeah, it turned out to be terrible, I suppose. Yeah, and not just terrible, but there are a lot of other things that happened with it as well. Can you tell us more?
Oh, yeah. So the game is called The Day Before. I think it was like 2 years or a year prior. It was announced in IGN and people were interested because they wanted an open world zombie survival post-apocalyptic kind of game. Mm. But it turns out that when closer to launch and after a bunch of stories, The Day Before is an extraction shooter and it's not even a well-made one at that. It has many ambitious promises that weren't met and players were deceived. So when they bought it, they gave very overwhelmingly negative reviews. So I believe, from what I've heard, the company is actually created in Russia. It's called Fantastic and it's actually based in Singapore. There's actually reports that when someone actually tried to look for the office, it's actually a co-sharing worker space. I believe that's Yahoo News who reported on that.
Oh.
Yeah, and then, I mean, and also after 5 days after the launch of the game, I believe the studio closed down.
All right. Wow,
yeah, so sometimes people say it's a scam. You know, like people, but then the thing is, they actually are refunding a lot of the money. So I'm not sure how you could actually make your, how you can actually steal money when you actually have released a game and then refunding it per se and then leaving. So maybe there is a system at work that has a loophole in terms of tax, maybe.
Mm.
But apparently, until we know the full extent of it, we'll just say that, yeah, apparently it's broken promises. The game did so terribly that the company flopped for it. It's just a bit weird considering that there are some games that are so terrible, they're still around and the company is basically just doing the next project to work on other things. They won't actually shut down or maybe they just change the name. Who knows?
Yeah, but shutting down like so soon after the release feels quite drastic too.
It is. Oh. So it could be like a scheme that they actually had planned out. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
So that part of the story hasn't been confirmed, but what we do know is after 4 days, the studio allegedly shut down, despite the fact that someone has reported that actually saw the studio, the co-working space that the guy talked with. He mentioned that yes, they would actually use that space to do the work and everything.
Oh wow, okay. Interesting.
But then plus you can probably save money to use a co-sharing space rather than renting out your own office, right?
I guess so. All right. Okay. From one post-apocalyptic game to another, this one is a big one. Naughty Dog has decided to finally, I guess, cancel its The Last of Us multiplayer game.
Yes. So they canceled that game on December the 14th, citing a choice. Naughty Dog was given a choice whether to become a live service game or prioritizing the legacy of single-player narrative games. So yeah, they chose wisely. As with the whole Last Crusade meme with the knight and everything. So Naughty Dog's decision was basically to prevent resource diversion. So they don't care about the online part, the live service thing. They're just going to focus on what they do best. And yeah, they stuck with that decision. So The Last of Us Online is cancelled, which is fine. I mean, I think the reason the online thing was actually brought up in the first place is because of the direction that Jim Ryan wanted
before he left.
The whole we're gonna make a bunch of different online games and see what sticks, like 12 in fact. So this is definitely one of the cancelled ones already. So it's good that, you know, Naughty Dog stuck to the gun and decide to make the games they're known for instead of backing out and, you know, multitasking. Because if anyone can tell you, if you don't have a focus and you just do too many things at once, like maybe you want to do an esports game, or you want to do a single player game, or you want to do a small time multiplayer game and whatnot, your game's gonna flop. Yeah, you have to basically focus on one thing you do well, possibly get more money out of it, and then just focus on doing that more and more until people, again, supply and demand, right?
Yeah. Do you think that this decision was made, does it to a certain extent coincide with the fact that Jim Ryan is leaving soon?
That right? too, yes. But, oh yeah, and also the fact that, you know, Bungie is still kind of laying people off on their side and then avoiding a takeover. That story also gets confusing because they were brought in as consultants in a sense because they have handled live service games. Mm. Although their live service game, Destiny 2, may, I guess, it's not doing so hot lah from what I've heard.
All right, up next, we've waited so long for this, John, and it's finally here. The first trailer to Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto 6 was finally released.
Lucia, do you know why you're here?
Bad luck, I guess.
Okay, so Rockstar Games has officially announced Grand Theft Auto 6, the sequel to the blockbuster action-adventure open-world series. The game is set in Vice City of the modern era, basically Florida, and stars female and male protagonists Lucia and Jason. The trailer is played to the tune of Tom Petty's Love is a Long Road and has garnered over 149 million views on YouTube at the time of recording. The game will be out in 2025 and will be for consoles, with a PC port reportedly coming out after the console versions are out.
Last but not least, on the local front, we have not so nice news involving makers of Cabaret, Persona Theory Games.
Yeah. So Malaysian indie game studio Persona Theory Games, the creators of Fires at Midnight and Cabaret, has been accused of sexual harassment and workplace abuse. According to the Southeast Asian video game indie news site Virtual SC Asia via Reddit and various Twitter accounts, the alleged incidents were targeted at interns working at the company. The Reddit thread that talks about the Malaysian indie game scene was posted 4 months ago, with the top comment being anonymous posters detailing the experiences of alleged sexual harassment and workplace abuse. The post stated that the alleged sexual harassment and workplace abuse stemmed from one of the key folks of the company who, quote-unquote, wanted things done their way, sent, quote-unquote, long threatening messages on Discord at 2 a.m., quote-unquote, pointless long meetings where nothing gets done, with, quote-unquote, full playthroughs of games, and so forth, detailing the abuse and mental anguish and whatnot. I believe we are still waiting for an official statement from Persona Theory Games as we speak. The news came to light days after Persona Theory Games co-founder Sakina Latif was nominated as a future class candidate for the Game Awards 2023, alongside Jonathan Tang from Magfilius and Metronomic, and Samantha Lau, a freelance journalist. We have reached out, again, like we mentioned, we reached out to Persona Theory Games for response, and we were told that the lead responsible for the above harassment has already resigned and has not been working at the company for the last few months.
But the company so far has yet to, as of the time of recording, has yet to release any official statement yet, right?
As far as I know, nothing. And yeah, that's all I can say on the matter.
All right, okay.
Oh, I do have one more piece of news. So following Sega's big announcement, Sega has trademarked a few other names. And these are all classic retro titles from their side. Kid Chameleon, Eternal Champions, and Altered Beast. For those who don't know, these are classic 90s Mega Drive games. Kid Chameleon is a platformer. Eternal Champions is a 2D fighting game to combat Mortal Kombat back in the day. Okay. And Altered Beast is a 2D arcade title where your main character fights Greek enemies and can transform into a were-tiger and a werewolf to, you know, get stronger and stuff.
Mm. So does that mean that these games will
well,
be
Well, for all you know, it could be they could be under a collection, you know, when they trademark names. But yeah, that's also a possibility that they'll be... I mean, the trailer that Sega presented at the Game Awards said "and more" after mentioning Jet Set Radio and a couple of other titles. So I'm guessing Kid Chameleon, Eternal Champions, and Altered Beast are the more lah. And in terms of like, for people who want a virtual fighter game, Sega is actively looking into it. They need to find a way to make the game easier for people to get into, because Virtua Fighter is a very, very high level fighting game and realistic to boot.
Yeah, it's still kind of funnish to play, I suppose. Yeah, despite its technicalities.
Yes, very, very. I mean, the game hasn't really changed much from part 1 to part 5. Maybe the jumps are less floaty, but it's still very, very technical. So they need to figure out that hurdle before they can, you know, officially announce that they're going to remake Virtua Fighter or make a Virtua Fighter sequel. But for now, these announcements with Eternal Champions, Altered Beasts, and Jet Set Radio, I'm very, very excited. Yeah. And also worried, but more excited than worried. They haven't mentioned the platforms, so my worry is they're all mobile games.
Oh, okay.
But my excitement is, oh, it's going to be PC and consoles. It's going to be a $60 title with a $60 experience.
Oh, okay.
Or, right, yeah. Sorry, US60, not RM60.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. That was Jonathan Leo, KKP's content director, rounding up the biggest news in December. After the break, we're going to talk about some of the games that were released in December, including Against the Storm and Granblue Fantasy vs. Rising. Stay tuned and listening to GG Well Played on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to GG Well Played with me, Hanif Baharudin. This is our final episode for the month and the year, and that means that Jonathan Leo, content director at kakuchopere.com, is with me for our monthly run-up. We've summarized the news from the month, so let's talk about the games, starting with SteamWorld Build.
This is actually from the SteamWorld universe, like SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Quest. So now it's a city builder. So this is a city builder where you design the perfect town for your robot populace. You have the overworld and underground to complement at the same time. So you build towns in the overworld and make sure that commerce travels happens, and then you keep your robot citizens happy. And then you build the underground with mines and stuff to, you know, gather the resources and protect them from falling rocks and enemies coming in and whatever that lurks in the dark. So it's not really as in-depth as City Skylines, but it isn't meant to be. It's a very, how do you say, I won't say pleasant, but more like it's a fun, chirpy, mechanical kind of game with lovely animations and seeing your robot on-screen populace doing interaction, all that. With, like, again, not too complicated, but not too hardcore. Not too simple in back and forth. Plus, you're dealing with like two different environments at the same time, so there is that complexity right there.
Is the game difficult to play?
Not quite. Maybe at the later stages, but when you get started out, the tutorial is very, very accessible and friendly. And plus, you can pause the game whenever you like. So it is meant to be like one of those games where you think more than react.
Okay.
As yeah, all city builders are, lah, in that sense.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, right? Yeah, it does look fun though.
So we should talk about another city builder with a different streak called Against the Storm. This game recently came out of early access. It's out officially on December. It's basically SimCity and Anno meets roguelites like Hades and Slay the Spire. So yes, it's got roguelike mechanics. You make settlements and attempt to make them successful until the Scorched Queen deems it lost. You get reputation points while the impatience from the queen gains slowly over time, which means your run will eventually end until you reach... Again, and then when you restart, you try different tactics again while you also gain permanent progression where you get more buffs and everything when you build your cities, or you want to keep the populace less hungry or make commerce grow and whatnot. So a lot of the layers of this game, like, it seems simple, but there's a lot that you uncover the more times you go through different playthroughs. So it's actually a lot more compelling than people would think. It's actually one of our highly rated games as well, so we're going to include it on our top games of 2023, in a sense, because it's a really... You don't see a city builder combining together with a roguelike, and the one that's done really well, where you have to adapt while you build things on the fly. So it's not just building one city. It's like building one city for one playthrough, and you got to think of other playthroughs on how to make your city as closely perfect as possible before the Scorched Queen, you know, makes the demands.
Yeah, it does sound like an interesting concept, combining City Builder with Roguelite. Yeah, I'm curious to see how this works. But it's a fun game, right?
Yeah. You will never get the same experience twice. That's the point of a roguelike. But for a City Builder, it's pretty unique for its approach and one that's done really, really well. Well, then again, the early access has helped. But, you know, once it's out, hey, it's a great game, you know.
Fantastic. How long was the game in early access for?
I think it was about a year or so plus. Yeah, so we got a lot of time to get things sorted. I think the developers are still doing updates for it as you speak, but so far it's a very, very interesting and very rewarding concept. Even if you have to build another city over again, it's not meant to be a city skylines or whatnot. It's meant to be a different kind of city building experience.
All right. Okay, moving on. We also have Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. What's this game like?
So Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is an open-world first-person shooter where you play as a Navi who has to fight off against the humans riding on, I believe the creature is called an Ikor, right? A flying creature and using the bows and arrows and spears to fight. So basically it's Far Cry, but in the James Cameron Avatar universe. To quote a review we did, if you like Far Cry games, you'll love this. It's an Avatar game was a strange choice, but it's, how do you say, I mean, again, if you like more Far Cry and more first-person shooters that have that open world or the checklist thing going on where you complete quests and just forward the progress and everything, you'll find a lot to like here. Otherwise, you're not going to be inspired. It's like, I guess if you had nothing else better to play, you just buy an Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. It's definitely meaty, that's for sure. I believe it took my reviewer about 20 hours to complete, or slightly more.
Mm. Story-wise, is it worth the purchase as well?
I guess it's okay. I mean, it just fleshes out more about the Avatar universe. If you're into that, yeah, sure, go ahead. I guess it's mostly people prefer it for the gameplay. So if you need a Far Cry fix, but you want it in a more sci-fi kind of style and setting, yeah, you should go ahead and try out Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Okay, yeah. It does look decent-ish, I guess.
It's pretty, it's pretty. People who are not really far-tuned in gaming and want a Far Cry experience, but without, you know, the seriousness of it all, yeah, you should try out Avatar.
Alright, fantastic. Last but not least, we also have a fighting game called Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising.
That is correct. It is actually a quote-unquote sequel to 2020's Granblue Fantasy Versus. So imagine like an updated Granblue Fantasy Versus with more characters, a new multiplayer minigame mode, and better online play. So Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising has rollback netcode, has great online play, has a bigger roster of characters with unique playstyles and gimmicks, and streamlined controls. In fact, it actually added a lot more, so I feel that the game can be kind of bloated. But again, it's very friendly for newcomers, but as long as they approach it slowly. It's got new mechanics that actually make the game go faster, like guard breaks and pushbacks. There are some nice single player options too, like a more streamlined story mode without the grinding from the last game, and some arcade mode challenges with the bosses and everything. There's even a mini game called Grand Brews, where you play as cute chibi versions of Grand Blue Fantasy characters and compete in minigames similar to Fall Guys. In fact, I'm going to say it out. It's basically just the Grand Blue version of Fall Guys. You got to run through an obstacle course, you got a multiplayer game, and you got to push people off platforms and play like a mini shooter, 3D shooter game, get fighting against the player, other enemies coming in, and while being the last person standing. So, best of all, the game is actually free. So yes, there is a paid version you have to buy online. But if you want to see how the game is like first, there's actually a free version where you can play the online mode and select between four characters, with the selection being rotated out per week for variety's sake.
All right, yeah. So how does this fare compared to other fighters out there?
It actually feels like a combination of Street Fighter V and an anime fighting game. A good balance, basically. So if you're new to fighting games, Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising would be a good game to start with. Especially with how new it is, with more people hopefully coming in. And plus, the anime aesthetic will actually attract a lot more people. Like, people should be very familiar with Granblue Fantasy because it's a very, very, very popular gacha game, mobile RPG that's been around for 2016. So with the characters they have on tap and everything, and the storyline focusing on very pretty people fighting each other, it's going to attract a market. I'm not sure how big, but the way that Psy Games is branding this game like a brand new title, I guess it could work. I mean, I'm not going to predict, because I know that Tekken 8 is coming out next month. I think that's going to be a big one for sure. But Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising does deserve a bit of a second life, considering that it was screwed royally by COVID-19 when it released in 2020. Because the online was terrible back then. And, you know, because online play is better during the time of the pandemic, so Granblue Fantasy Versus was put in a very, very bad position. So think of this as like a second win for the game. But a big one, where the updates are very substantial that it justifies the price. Not the regional pricing nonsense you hear from over outside the country, but it's right for the price. And plus, it's free to an extent.
Okay, all right, fantastic. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the review portion of games for this year. What can we look forward to next year? You mentioned Tekken 8.
Yes, Tekken 8 is one game I'm looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to Ubisoft's new Prince of Persia game. It's called Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. It's a 2D Metroidvania with time-bending mechanics and really cool attacks and everything. Looks pretty solid. I've seen a bunch of previews. They look pretty good. I'm hoping to check that out. I think it's coming out middle of the month. And Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is an RPG I'm looking forward to, set in the Yakuza Sega universe. Metaphor ReFantazio is another RPG I'm looking forward to. It's coming out in fall 2024, I saw the gameplay for it. It looks very, very stylish. It's like, there's actually, I mean, combat is done in a very unique way where you actually playing the game in real time as an action game, like Dynasty Warriors. And then when you attack enemies, when you parry and counter them, you can press the squad button to initiate turn-based combat mode. And the transition looks very, very awesome. If you haven't seen it, go check it out on YouTube. It looks very, very good, the gameplay and everything. So Metaphor Fantasia is set in a fantasy world, but it's done by the people who made Persona. So it's very, very stylized. And of course, two other games, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the sequel to Remake, which is going to address the second half of the first disc of Final Fantasy VII back in the day, but in remake fashion. And Unicorn Overlord, the next new tactical RPG strategy game from VanillaWare, the creators of 13 Sentinels and Odin Sphere.
Sounds fantastic. Are you looking forward to next year?
Yes, definitely, yes.
You're tuned into GG Well Played, and I was Jonathan Leo, Content Director at kakuchopore.com, wrapping up the biggest news and releases in December. For more gaming news and reviews, head over to their website, kakuchopore.com. If you'd like to listen to this episode again, look for the podcast on bfm.my, our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also find our podcast on Spotify. Do share your thoughts and the games that you play via our email, ggwp@bfm.my. Don't forget to also follow the station on X at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin. Thanks for joining us. Game on, and please take care. Have a Merry Christmas and see you next year. This has been GG Well Played.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.